This is Rat Pack Radio, the internet radio station that brings you everything from the top hits in music.
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
To Sports Talk Radio.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California.
We are here for you, WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack.
You're listening to WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack. You're listening to Rat Pack Sports Show on WRPR Rat Pack Radio.
Blue, you're my boy!
A genius. A man who has a reputation to be the best at what he does.
You see, a man has to realize his limitations. You don't know me, and you don't know what I'm capable of.
That was a heck of an effort.
This house is a prison in the galaxy of this sucks.
Are you free enough?
This battle is over when I say it is over.
I will massacre you.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Are you not entertained?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
That's how I roll.
Offensive foul!
Hello? You play to win the game.
There's the drive! Way back! It might be! It could be!
This is my favorite part coming up right now.
Ride. Rat Pack Sports Show. We are back. We are live. Rat Pack Radio, WRPR, streaming online, ratpacksports.com, and also the Rat Pack Radio WRPR app. We in the building another week. Bring you the best there is in sports talk and entertainment, as we always do. And we're going to have a good show. As we always do tonight, a lot of things in sports going on, and we're going to try to bring it to you guys. You can find us online, as I said, ratpacksports.com. You can download the iHeartMedia app, find us on there, podcast, Podbean, ratpacksportsshow.podbean.com. We're on Twitter, at ratpacksports with a Z, Facebook, Rat Pack Sports group and like page, and we're also on Instagram, Rat Pack Sports, as well. So, man, you know, a lot happening. We have the NBA playoffs. Obviously, we got the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. We got the Major League Baseball in full swing. And at any time, you know, the Rays are doing well. It's always a good day here in Tampa Bay, and had the NFL draft that just happened. So we'll get into some draft talk. Obviously, you know, being a Buccaneer fan, we'll break down that draft as well. But we're going to start things off here because he's been eager to come on. We got him on with us. Now it's Rat Pack Sports Show, NBA Insider on the line with us now. Mr. Nicholas Lane, a.k.a. Nicky Buckets. What's going on, man? Maybe he can't hear me. Let's see what's going on here. Hold on now. I know He should be able to hear me. Let's see if I get him back. First of all, let me make sure I can be heard. That's number one. Let me switch this back here. I know I heard him earlier. Nicholas, can you hear me, buddy? I think we're going to have to hang up, call back. Scott giving me problems. Let me check. Let me make sure that we are actually, I don't have him muted on this other thing here. Nope, don't have him muted. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm getting levels, so I know my voice is coming through. Let me make sure I'm plugged in. He's going to call back. Might have been having a little difficulty here. All right, let's see if this works. We got... There he is. I don't know what happened there, but we got him now.
The cowbells. I've been sitting in the Sacramento airport for another hour or so. So must be all the cowbells going off.
Yeah, yeah. So, we have him here, ladies and gentlemen. Now he's back. The vocals are good. Rat Pack Sports Show, NBA Insider, Mr. Nicholas Lane. It's been a few weeks, but we got him on now. My man is sitting in the airport, so we're going to, you know, have a little bit of discussion here while he waits on his flight.
It's great to be back on. Thank you for having me. NBA is a heck of a time. You know, Joel Embiid gets MVP. Paolo Banchero, representing Orlando, gets Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. My guy, Jalen Williams, you know, he got almost all the second-place votes. It's kind of what I expected. You know, I said it for months, starting in January, that I felt that Jalen Williams was going to give Paolo Banchero a run. He didn't. I don't think he got many first-place votes. But, you know, he came in second, so that's kind of what I expected. You know, Paolo didn't get injured. He didn't go through a crazy cold spell. I mean, he was inefficient a lot of nights, but he didn't do enough to where the voters were swayed by Jalen Williams' big month and a half, his last month and a half of the season. And, you know, Paolo was very deserving, carrying a Magic offense, and also, you know, still putting up pretty good numbers for Orlando.
Yeah, we talked about Banchero all season. He's a surprise for me because, again, like I keep saying, he wasn't the guy that we, you know, thought the Magic would take or should take at the time. We knew he was a good player. We knew he had a big body. We knew, you know, from a skill standpoint, he had everything. It was just a matter of, you know, maybe the more popular guy, you know, going to the Magic. But since he's been there, he's done nothing but play well, you know, the whole season. He started off real hot. And, you know, when you start off hot the way he did, and then you have the Magic, who was a team last season that, you know, record-wise, it wasn't that great. We've seen the process of them building the team up happening. But then they come in this year. He's a major piece of the puzzle. And the Magic, you know, win 30-plus games. So I think it was 30-plus, if I'm not mistaken.
I think Orlando had a very successful season. I think they absolutely did. I feel like they see a little bit more of who they're going to be and what they're going to be building around. You know, out of those top three players in last year's draft, you know, we're talking about Banchero, Chet Holmgren, and Jabari Smith Jr. You know, we talked about on this show that we felt like that Chet is obviously the biggest gamble. Jabari was the safest pick, and Paolo maybe wouldn't have been in maybe the position fit that Orlando needed, but it turned out that Paolo was exactly what Orlando needed. Orlando would have been set back quite a bit if they got Jabari Smith Jr. at number one, because he had such a horrendous rookie season. But the Chet side of things is he's still in the same realm, even with this foot injury that he's recovering from the surgery, that he's still the same prospect. He's still the same player, but he has 1 year of training and learning the Thunder ways in the offense. And I think we still see him as the prospect that he came out as last year, that we don't know yet, but it still looks positive, but there's a lot of gamble with Chet Holmgren.
Yeah.
The Magic decided that they needed a franchise piece, and they were right. They, you know, credit to scouting in the front office, the Magic, they nailed that Paolo Banchero pick, where it would have been an absolute disaster with Jabari Smith Jr. And I think you still would have been a year lost with Chet. So the Thunder have the luxury, because they have so much other talent, that you can see the Thunder as now they're adding Chet, compared to if the Magic got Chet, they'd be like, well, we still don't know what they're doing, and then they got Chet, where we don't know what he's going to give you. So the narrative and how to look at this is, I think it's worked out really well for the Thunder and the Magic and the Rockets. It's just an absolute disaster what's going on in Houston. But, you know, and they just hired a coach that is an absolute train wreck himself, M.A. Udoka. So,
they hired him?
They hired M.A. Udoka. Yeah, they didn't go out and hire Nick Nurse as I thought they would, but they hired Udoka, and I just it's unbelievable. That organization is an absolute train wreck.
Yeah, and you know what? It's sad, and we'll jump back on, what you were saying before with the Rookie of the Year conversation. But I just want to say this. Coming from a spot where the Houston Rockets was very respectable around the league, they seem to always make the right moves and do things in the best interest of the franchise. Just seeing where they've been at since, you know, Harden left, and started a little bit before he left, but really after he left. But the train wreck of an organization that the Rockets have been, the moves they've made, personnel decisions, you know, front office decisions, now coaching decisions, they're going nowhere. 22 wins, and the thing, what, 4 years ago, maybe four, five years ago or something like that, this was a team in the Western Conference that they were talking about, you know, contending for.
Yeah, they were like the number one or number two seed for a couple of years in a row while Harden was at his best.
Yeah, and now to look at them, they're bottom of the league, the third worst team in the league, pretty much tied with San Antonio. Only other team worse than them was Detroit, another prideful organization that just seemed to can't get it right. But to see what, you know, we've talked about this for a long time, especially with the Thunder. They were very open with their fan base. Sacramento Kings was as well, about how they wanted to build their franchise, rebuild, rebrand. And, you know, the fan bases were patient. The ownership was patient. And now all of those organizations are benefiting from making all these moves. No true household names. I mean, you know of guys because of, you know, their year in college, what they did in college. But there's no, you know, superstars. There's no, you know, household names on these rosters, just a bunch of players that all mesh, they fit well together, and they play, you know, team basketball. They don't depend on just one guy. It's a bunch of them.
I would say, in the Thunder's defense, they do have a first-team All-NBA player, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So I think you can call him. I think he's a star. Now, De'Aaron Fox for Sacramento.
He's getting there.
I believe he's a borderline star. He's almost there. And Domantas Sabonis is like a borderline star as well, too. So, I mean, at least Sacramento does have some real real pieces, where Detroit, man, it's a head scratcher. Outside of Kay Cunningham, it's a train wreck. I mean, there is some talent, but there's really not a lot. And Houston is an even worse position. You know, the Thunder are drafting guys who can do multiple things on both sides of the floor, bring the ball up, hit the three, play defense, long wingspan, just like a Jalen Williams is on the Thunder, where Houston is grabbing guys like Jalen Green, who only just chuck up shots, and that's all he does.
Yeah.
And so that's where, to me, I think that's where the organizations are. You know, one is individual play, where I think, you know, a team like the Thunder or the Magic are actually building a culture there.
100% agree with you on that. Again, we had these discussions a lot. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm a Magic fan, been one since, you know, since they came into the league. So, yep, my team struggled. I did benefit from being a Bulls fan also in the 90s and you know, with that run they had. But the Magic has always been, you know, one of my teams. And, you know, I'm just glad to see them bouncing back. I thought the Dwight Howard situation there kind of made them look bad a little bit. A lot of things happened to set that franchise back. They didn't get enough when they traded them away. They had some, you know, pieces, and they kind of, it took them a while, but I like the group they got. They all young. They all got a chance to grow together. Coaching is on point, and they're making the move. So, they had 34 wins last season. So
that's a really good year for them. Yeah. For a young team that is building, that is figuring out who they need to use to build around, and I feel like they have found their starting point guard in Markelle Fultz. I think a guy like Cole Anthony or Jalen, I think a guy like Cole Anthony might be like an odd man out type of guy, just like a Jonathan Isaac right now. It feels like that he is kind of an odd man out, might not get it, you know, his contract might be an albatross, and they might have to look to move him eventually down the road. They obviously were correct in saying that Mo Bamba is probably not an NBA caliber player, which they're right. I think that's correct assessment. And Bol Bol, I mean, it's a year where, you know, you can play him some minutes, and if he performs well, or if he changes his defensive habits, then you might have a good backup center. But those are things where if you overperform when you're not expected to do anything, those are ways of how you can build from that into next season. Plus, you get another chance at a top five pick that the Magic will have.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, again, I was one, you know, I liked, who was it? Mo Bamba. I thought he actually was decent for the Magic, but he hasn't done anything since being traded away. And, you know, sometimes the ownership do know more than us. So,
So speaking of being traded away to the Lakers, let's move on to the playoffs.
Okay.
And, you know, me being on the show, I will call my victories and I will talk about my victories, aka the Denver Nuggets. But when it comes to the Lakers, the Undertaker sometimes loses. I don't know how it happens. I don't know what happened. I think, you know, Kane might have came through the ring or something. I'm not really sure. But the Lakers made it out of the first round, and they won game one. So officially the Undertaker, you know, gets defeated once in a while. They won enough games. I think the depth that they turned Russell Westbrook into has worked out very well. Austin Reeves has more than overperformed for them, and I feel like Austin Reeves will get a $50-plus million contract. As crazy as it sounds, I think it's correct. I think he will get it. Malik Beasley has been good off the bench. This Lakers team is actually performing pretty well, and I think credit to Austin Reeves Malik Beasley off the bench and Anthony Davis in game one, I mean, completely dominated the Warriors. So, I mean, honestly, you know, the Lakers have a lot of momentum right now.
Yeah. And I wasn't surprised of them beating Memphis. Memphis came in, you know, short men. You know, obviously when you're missing Adams, he's a beast in the middle from a defensive standpoint, rebounding. He does a lot within the offense for the setting picks for guys and stuff like that, you know, playing around the basket. In this show, that hurt them. They weren't at full strength. Ja Morant, for whatever he did with his hand, he wasn't playing at full strength. And for a guy with that plays the way he does, a hand injury is a big deal. So they just couldn't overcome all that. And it's probably, you know, a good thing that they couldn't overcome that because, you know, the Lakers just they were just too much. They got dominated down low, as you said, with Anthony Davis. You know, he had a good series. What's the kid name you just named? The
Austin Reeves.
Let me tell y'all something. For those of y'all that listen, y'all know how I feel about LeBron James basketball wise. That's the only thing I got to say about it. I don't know him as a person. But basketball wise, I've been on record many times of saying when your offense is centered around LeBron James and you got four guys sitting around while he just dribbles the ball out for like 15 seconds before he decides to do anything with it. That's a stagnant offense. It's easy to defend that, and it don't put the other guys in the best position possible to score. Yeah, he's a good passer. You know, they would call as a point forward. I don't see it that way because point guard makes everybody else better. And it's been a lot of times during his career where guys that were good players come to play with LeBron and their play suffers. So I'm going to say something, and a lot may not agree with it, some may, but when Austin Reeves has the ball in his hands, that team plays a lot better in the half court offense. When they're going through him as the main ball handler and LeBron James is kind of playing off ball, the whole team, the ball just moves a lot better. Maybe that's something they done figured out, because since he's been inserted into the lineup, they're a different team. They're a different team.
I think you can say he just makes winning basketball plays.
Yeah.
I think you could say that he is just a guy that
He's a basketball player. He's just a basketball player. He's not flashy.
He
doesn't celebrate. He just go out there and he just makes basketball plays, routine, over and over and over and over and over again. And, you know, That's what I call a basketball player. That Austin Reeves, for what it's worth, has made the Lakers a better team.
I feel like he's not a specialist in one certain thing. So he doesn't just shoot threes. He doesn't just only get to the rim and never pass the ball. But that the guy can hit the three. But I think the mid range and getting to the rim is more of what he is better at. And I feel like also his passing ability to find the open man, to get the bounce pass, to, you know, like he makes the right moves.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got a guy like D'Angelo Russell who throughout his career, I don't think he makes the right moves. But you see Austin Reeves, and he really does. And to put him out there as a bench unit guy, to put him out there in crunch time, the Lakers are really benefiting from him. And it could be said that they were benefiting from trading Russell Westbrook to give Austin Reeves maybe this time that he needed, you know, this playing time that I think was deserving. We saw when LeBron was out that Austin Reeves was doing a lot of work for them.
Yeah.
He's able to put some pressure off of LeBron and AD and not have them create every possession, where, you know, you do have to worry about Austin Reeves in the post making moves to set up a fade, you know, to set up a mid-range jumper, you know, off the dribble that he can get to the rim. He's not as fast as the other guy, but he can catch him off guard and, like you said, make basketball moves. And to me, he has really changed the Lakers' outlook of this season, and I think they wouldn't be there without him.
No, they wouldn't. And it was one game in the regular season. Austin Reeves went off, had a great game. I think he ended up hitting like the game winning shot. And when they went panned the camera to him, he was saying, I've read his lips, he was saying, I am him. Listen, you gotta be very confident. You playing on the team with AD, you playing on the team with LeBron James, and you're saying, I'm that dude. The Lakers was right. They were right, you know, trading away Russell Westbrook. We all thought when he came there it was a bad fit. We saw that when they traded for him. That was a bad fit. And it was a bad fit because, Russell Westbrook went on. He and played very well for the Clippers.
The Clippers.
So,
yes, he did.
You know, both teams both benefited from it. And the Lakers are, you know, still in the playoffs. And they're
playing. Do you think we can say that what Austin Reeves has turned into is what the Lakers would have wanted to see Westbrook become?
Yes. But one thing about Westbrook and Austin Reeves is more patient. His game is not about, you know, speed. It's just about patience and just executing the play and just playing smart basketball. Like I don't watch enough games, and I don't watch Austin Reeves play where the guy rarely makes a bad decision. So
would you say that the Lakers, obviously they screwed up with Westbrook pretty hard, you know, how they handled him, what they wanted him to be, but also how much they gave up for him.
Yeah.
Right. I think all of that combined made that such an atrocious move, but you know, sometimes, you know, a squirrel finds a nut, and all of a sudden emerges Austin Reeves. And now, you know, when they traded for D'Angelo Russell in that three-way deal, they got him as a free agent next year. And now they have to determine, like, you know, Austin Reeves is deserving of a $50 plus million contract, maybe, right?
They're gonna have to make a decision.
D'Angelo Russell, I think, is a very overrated $20 plus million a year player. If you're the Lakers, that's a pretty tough decision, because you gave up, you know, you gave up a Westbrook contract in order to get a D'Angelo Russell who you thought would be this point guard that you really needed. And
Austin Reeves
turns out that Austin Reeves is the better player.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a situation again, you know, you got a lot of money tied up in some big name players. You're going to have to make a decision. You know, for the franchise. And because I tell you this, there's going to be teams around the league that's going to be in that Austin Reeves sweepstakes, and you going to have to pay him to keep him, because he may be able to get more money going somewhere else.
If I was a team like Miami, I'd be throwing a lot of money out.
Hey, he would fit perfect with the Miami Heat. Played, yeah.
He has been so much better than Kyle Lowry. I mean, granted, Kyle Lowry has been good in the playoffs, but Kyle Lowry had a really bad regular season. And to put a hustle guy, a scrapping player like a Gabe Vincent, and then you put an Austin Reeves that's a similar player but better, obviously better than a Gabe Vincent, then that would be like a really good ideal guy to put with a Tyler Hero, a Bam Adebayo, and of course Jimmy Butler to get through regular seasons, and then have Jimmy Butler just go nuclear in the playoffs like he did on like he did versus Milwaukee all series. So to me, I mean, if the Lakers are going to just balk at the situation, I mean, if I were Miami, I'd be throwing $70 million and just call it good.
Yeah, because the way they're playing, he is worth every bit of, you know, the money you decide that you're going to give him. Because you're a worse team without him. At the end of the day, you can talk about AD, you can talk about LeBron. You're not that good without Reeves on that roster. So
to be as surprising as the Lakers are to be in the second round and win game one, I think for how good Austin Reeves has been playing as the first man off the bench type of situation, I don't see the Warriors having as many guys to throw out there. I mean, I think their depth has had a lot of issues this year. And, I mean, I'm not saying the Lakers are going to be favored in this series, but can we realistically think that the Lakers can beat the Warriors in this series? I feel like the answer is kind of yes here.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like they could. And, again, hey, we're not Lakers haters, but, hey, it wasn't looking good early in the season. So – but right now, Lakers are playing hot. It's all about getting hot at the right time. They got in the playoffs. They're hot. The Warriors struggle, especially on the road. I mean, they're going to have to win some road games to win in the playoffs. So
we have to look at it as if the Lakers win game two tomorrow night,
it might be over.
And the Warriors have been so bad on the road, it could be like the Denver series where Phoenix really needed to win that game two and that brick fest that was going on, and they didn't do it. So now Chris Paul's hurt. He might not play the next two games in Phoenix.
It seems to happen
that
way.
And now you're looking, you're staring at a black hole that Nikola Jokic might be on the other side of it. So to me, the Warriors need to really pull everything out to get game two. You know, they got to win it. Otherwise, I think they're in trouble. I mean, I know there's some teams that come back from 2-0 deficits and win the other two games on their home floor, but I mean, if the Warriors have to go on the road and all of a sudden this hot Lakers team is really cooking here,
it's
as
over.
Good as obviously Steph Curry had to be to win game seven against the Kings, I think the Lakers actually have good personnel to match them.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you, man. The way they're playing and the way Golden State has been inconsistent all season. Yeah. They got Steph. You know, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, man, listen. Draymond Green is getting defense played on him like somebody would on the college or high school level when they know they're not going to shoot the ball. I think it's
it's warranted.
Yeah. I think it is absolutely insane to be in the pros and you can't shoot. Like, as somebody that handles the ball like he does, he's not a post guy. So, I mean, I seen a play last game where LeBron James literally was standing, like, in the paint. Draymond Green was at the three-point line. And he was playing Draymond Green, but the lack of respect for his ability to knock down a shot, where you ain't, you're 15 feet away from this dude. And he didn't even attempt to take the shot. I don't understand that. And for everything that Draymond Green does on the court, defensively, I don't believe you can win at this stage with Draymond Green.
And I don't think the Warriors have a counter on their bench.
No.
I mean, Looney, obviously Kevon Looney he's like a Steven Adams. He's a bigger dude, right? So when you have him, you have a Draymond that can't shoot. Obviously Looney can't shoot. They don't really have options in order for them to, I think, navigate that. And if they need to put Looney on Anthony Davis more, that's not going to work because Anthony Davis can take you outside as well.
Yep.
You're going to have a much more undersized Draymond versus Anthony Davis. And, you know, last year in the playoffs, we talked about it, how Denver lost to Golden State in the first round because, you know, we see it now, right? I mean, Denver has Aaron Gordon. They have Jamal. He has a healthy Jamal Murray. He has a healthy Michael Porter Jr. And game two savior for the Nuggets, KCP. You know, he really won them that game in the fourth quarter. This is a much different Denver team. And, you know, for Draymond to focus on one guy when everybody else doesn't have to do as much, when you don't have to do as much to everybody else, Draymond can shine there, but not in a situation where if you stop AD, then fine, you can stop him. But the Lakers right now are showing that they have enough firepower and other options. But when AD goes for 40 plus points and almost 20 rebounds, then, I mean, the Warriors don't have a chance.
Yep. And, you know, again, Denver is equipped for anything that anybody could bring at them. And Golden State, at this point, they're not a better team than the Lakers. Lakers deep; they're deeper on the bench. You know, they can rest LeBron and still go on a 10-0 run. I mean, because they'll just run the offense through AD. Austin Reeves, you know, he can shoot.
They have some shooters off the bench where they can hit. And
how you say that guy's name?
Shooter off the bench.
Hachimura? Is that how you say his name?
Rui Hachimura.
Yeah, Rui Hachimura. He's been shooting the ball well and giving them something coming, you know, coming in off the bench. So they're deeper. They have more depth. The Golden State doesn't have answers. Lakers does. So I much as I want to see Golden State, you know, win this series because it's Golden State, I just don't think they're deep enough. It's going to come down to how well Steve Kerr can coach their way through this series. That's what it's going to be about, how, you know, Golden State adjusts.
They do have that advantage. I mean, Steve Kerr is obviously a better coach than Darvin Ham, but how much is that going to factor in when this might be a bad matchup for the Warriors?
It
very well could be a bad matchup for the Warriors. I mean, they obviously have a huge advantage on the outside with Curry and Clay, but I think with the rest of the positions, they really don't.
No. That is the only advantage that Golden State has. Because after that, the Lakers check all the boxes, you know, from depth, supporting cast, you know, giving a boost to the team. So if they don't win the game two, if they don't win this game two, they need to win this game two. I believe this series is over. I mean, Golden State, they can run off some games and win, but you're not winning this series 0-2.
Well, just like the Suns. I mean, the Suns are seeing that they had a chance that they caught a slow offensive-footed Denver team in game two. Both teams were very, very slow offensively, couldn't hit anything from three. But Denver just persevered enough and hit enough clutch shots to where, you know, Phoenix has to go through campaign in order to, in a down 0-2, to have campaign. I mean, he's not a bad point guard, I would say, but at the end of the day, when you're down 0-2 versus probably the best, I know it's the best team in the West.
Yeah.
You know, Phoenix is in a lot of trouble. I mean, Devin Booker played really well in game two. Durant played good at times, but he bricked a lot of threes. Ayton to me is he's kind of forgotten. He's not going to defend Jokic very well. I feel like that's just the way it is. And I mean, I watched Jokic just destroy Bismack Biyombo, and if that's their backup center, and at the end of the day, I think Denver's too much. Denver has too much depth. They have too many guys throughout there. Bruce Brown has played very well defensively. He's gone into Booker's head, I think, too. I think this Denver series is over. And like we talked about with the Warriors, they could potentially be over as well if they don't win game two. But you go back east and you see this Miami Knicks series. And this reminds me of Ewing and Mourning and Larry Johnson and Mourning punching each other in the Knicks Heat days, and Van Gundy coming out on the court. And obviously that's not going to happen in this series, but the vibe of this series, how close they are, how a lot of what goes down is defensive and rebounding situations that need to be secured in order for a team to want either team to have a better chance. I think the X factor that New York really has here is Josh Hart. He played really well in game two, and he is a major factor. If Julius Randle has a bummed ankle, and of course Jimmy Butler didn't play game two because of a bummed ankle as well. With the Heat not having Tyler Hero, they really have to rely on your Gabe Vincents and your Kyle Lowry's to be better. And Kyle Lowry, I think, has stepped it up and played better in the playoffs. But if you're going to tell me that Gabe Vincent is going to be probably your best guard, even though, yeah, it's the Knicks, but the Knicks are playing good. They're punishing people down low. They're hitting some outside shots. Jalen Brunson is showing that he is a starting point guard. He is a number one guy. He can be a focal point of an offense. As much as I don't really like Tom Thibodeau, of course, as a coach, I feel like this is a series right up his alley. And for now, I think the Knicks have a slight advantage, not a big advantage, because Jimmy Butler needs to come back and probably play game three in order for the Heat to probably be a little bit better than the Knicks here. But I think this series is it's going to be a slugfest. It's going to be slow moving. I mean, yeah, points will be scored, but I think they're all going to be close games. That's what I feel like this series is going to look like.
Yeah. And like you said, that Heat-Knicks series, both of the games have been battles. That's what you want to see, you know, in the playoffs. It's never good to be in the playoffs and see blowouts. So, yeah, and I don't know, man. I mean, the Knicks could possibly have a good chance to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. And at that point, you get to the finals, man, you just never know. Because, I mean, with Milwaukee being knocked out, that was the runaway team that everybody thought, you know, in the Eastern Conference. And you know, Miami put them out to the golf course early, and Miami's still playing hot, and they're playing well, you know, as a team. But this Knicks team is tough, and they play to the personality of their head coach Ramrod, and you know. Ramrod seem to have them playing in a little groove right now.
And this is the type of series that he absolutely stays up till 5 a.m. every night to make sure that he gets everything right for this matchup. I mean, this is the perfect series for him to showcase, you know, who he is as a coach. You know, lots of half-court offense, lots of slow it down, a lot of mid-range shots, you know, to bruise guys down low, make Julius Randle dribbled way too much. I mean, to me, this is the absolute quintessential Tom Thibodeau series. And what happens when you feel like you have the advantage, there's a good chance that you're going to win. And as long as Jimmy Butler kind of stays on the sidelines, and of course they're not going to have Tyler Hero, I think some things are breaking for the Knicks' favor here.
Yeah, it just keeps for a really good, really good series, and probably one of the better series in this second round, where you have two teams that's fairly evenly matched.
And speaking of evenly matched, the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers, I feel like, are pretty evenly matched in this series as well, too. I know they're playing tonight. I haven't looked at the score or anything, but
61-51 Boston, third quarter, start of the third quarter.
61-51?
Yep.
Okay. So obviously Boston's responding from James Harden taking him out in game one. It looks like to me that I think this series is pretty tight. I feel like it's going to be a close series as well. Two stars versus two stars, a good supporting player versus a couple of good supporting players for Boston, for Tobias Harris for Philly and Maxey. And you got Brogdon, you got Derek White, you got Robert Williams, you got Grant Williams. I mean, you got quite a bit going on there with Boston. To me, I want to say that the Sixers have a slight advantage. There's not a lot of an advantage. And also Boston is really deep. I like both teams, and Boston has been getting these series in the last couple of years, and Joel Embiid is kind of due for, an Eastern Conference Finals. So if they don't make it this year, I think Harden could change teams, or he could be unhappy in Philly. I think there's something to be said about Harden there. And so Philly, I think, has more pressure than Boston, because Boston can just kind of bring the band back and maybe keep Jaylen Brown happy. And all of a sudden they're still going to be, a top two team in the East. So to me, I think Philly has the most to lose in this series.
Yeah. Yeah. I would think so. On that as well. They will have, more to lose.
Well, I think there's just the combination of Harden, another disappointing playoff berth for Embiid, and you got this overpriced contract for Tobias Harris, and then you got to figure out, how much to pay Tyrese Maxey coming up here. So I think Philly has a lot on their plate when it comes to if they take a series loss. But if they get a series win, and even if they lose in the Eastern Conference Finals, I think their outlook is a lot different. I think Harden would stay. I think Embiid would be pretty happy, obviously, with an MVP year plus getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think it's a really big deal for them. And that's going to be a big series to watch and see how that plays out too.
Yeah, that should be a pretty big series. To see how everything goes there. But I got a question.
Of course.
What's the mindset on Memphis deciding that Dylan Brooks is a goner? What you think about that?
I think that's the scapegoat.
Yeah.
Is how I think about it. I think he's a scapegoat, and I feel like he got all the headline attention where, Ja Morant was a big cause of the problems in the locker room and what was going on with the team, and they just blamed it on Dylan Brooks, essentially, is what I feel like what happened. Now, I'm not defending Dylan Brooks because, yes, as good and an elite defender he is, he's a really bad shooter, and he takes way too many shots. And to me, I feel like maybe Memphis doesn't want to see that. Maybe Memphis wants to see the ball move more often and maybe have more Desmond Bane in the offense compared to Dylan Brooks just chucking shots up. So I would say I feel like it is more about that they don't want to see that John Morant was the problem this season compared to them saying that Dylan Brooks made all the headlines and gave them all the bad attention. That's what I think it is.
Yeah. And that's exactly why I asked you, because I knew we'll probably share around the same mindset when it comes to that.
Well, and they also, they also committed all that money to John Morant through a big extension as well. So they're going to give him a pass, just like the Pelicans keep giving Zion Williams in the pass. They have to finally see if he can play healthy. And obviously, as we both know, that if it doesn't happen again next year, I mean, you got to really think about moving the guy. And if John Morant keeps getting in trouble and keep making bad headlines or creating issues for team chemistry, it's a really hard decision. But at some point, you might have to cut ties. Or they could both bounce back. You can look at Zion playing healthy, being healthy, and being the dominant player that we all of us know on the show that I feel like he can be. But if he keeps, detouring himself and not taking care of his body and hurting anything under his knees that he has been doing, I don't see how you can keep him.
No, me neither. Me neither.
You would have to say, we're going to play you certain, we're going to play you so you could showcase you. I don't know what other option you have there if he just keeps underperforming or not playing. To me, I think that Zion is a cornerstone type talent, but the guy just doesn't play. He doesn't, there's nothing going on there. So I don't know what to say. I think that's a pretty tough situation for him.
Yeah, it is. And, they gotta be ready. I mean, gonna get called here, and you either got to put up or shut up. You in the playoffs, so your last excuse is just that. Everybody else got games to play there. Everybody, teams are great, coaches are great. So these playoffs to me is. Some of the games are boring because they're blowouts, but the Eastern Conference seem to be playing a lot, tighter games, and it's showing. With a couple of the series,
I think
so
the
far.
Talent's pretty close in the East.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
I think
West
the talent's
is
pretty
like
close
a
in the East, and it's like we have good matchups in the West, but at the same time, I just think that Phoenix just completely strips a lot of their depth to get KD.
We said it.
And
we said it. And
you also have just a really, I think you just have a hot Lakers team, and that's just what's going on. Obviously Golden State has to change the narrative in the series, but right now the Lakers are hot and they're pretty hard to stop.
Yep. I agree with you on that.
Before I go.
All right.
I will have some free time at night the next couple of nights, and I can start my Anthony Bennett All-Star list and get it to you as soon as I get it done and edited. I got three names in mind. I got two more to go, but I got two guys that I need to actually do some research on and find, you know, contract numbers to performance and go from there. But I got three in mind for now is where I'm at.
Okay. Oh yeah. Hey, whenever you ready, man, as always, we're going to be ready for that, for that article. It's always a good one. And, it will be no less deal. So, when the articles come, just know people, as this man said, he do a lot of homework. So you're not going to be reading an article for somebody that ain't done their homework and research.
Now, I know William in the chat was trying to convince me on a couple of guys, but my will and my criteria is pretty strict when it comes to how I choose these players and my thinking behind it. And so I know that these last two names, I'm going to have to dig a little bit on the roster and kind of figure out which names are right. But, you know, we're getting closer.
Yeah. Yeah, we are, man. And can't wait to read this year's version and talk about it when you're back on the air, man. So, well, what time what time is your flight?
Well, now it's delayed about 40 minutes. So I'm going to maybe grab a slice of pizza and be able to just kind of chill out for a little bit. I appreciate you at least having me on so I can kill some time waiting, but for connecting flight. But, you know, still got a lot of NBA playoffs to go.
Yep.
And you know, the draft will be right around the corner from there in June for who gets Victor Wembanyama. So that's going to be exciting to see who gets that opportunity. And then we can break down, I think, this top three, where two of them are really excellent. And one of them, I think is a little overrated in my opinion. And we can kind of break down this draft here.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait, again, for the article. And stop breaking down this draft. And one more thing, it's not NBA related, but it is, you know, professional basketball. So WNBA, you got to figure out a better way to do this, because to have your draft literally like 2 weeks before, well, no, I mean 2 weeks. Like just right after the tournaments, like 2 weeks later, they're having their draft. You got to figure out a better system than that, man. I don't understand why. I know they start the season here. Should be this month, I think.
Summertime, pretty soon. Yeah.
Okay, so you got to do better.
I think there's a lot of things with WNBA you just got to do better.
Yeah, and you know, I think that in the next, I'm going to say, 2 to 4 years, you'll start to see a little bit of a hike for viewership and stuff like that, being with, you know, some of the talent that, you know, came out this year. Obviously, next year, you'll have Caitlin Clark, you know, in the draft. She'll be, you know, probably the number one pick. You know, people tune in just to watch her play because it reminds them of Steph Curry. That's kind of how she play. So
in the WNBA, the slower ticket prices make it very easy for people to go to games. Just get people in the stands. I mean, that's one of the number one things WNBA really needs.
Yeah.
And if this girl can do it, then fantastic. I mean, they need a larger than life, you know, kind of big TV personality, somebody to to really be enthusiastic about the WNBA. I think there's a lot of things they need. To me, it's really hard for that product to survive. I mean, it's obviously propped up by the Players Association quite a bit in the NBA, but to me, they need to find a way for this product to survive. And I mean, if it's Caden Clark, then great. If that's the case, then they need to find a way to get fans in stands, whether it's $5 tickets. I mean, only the lower level only. I mean, they got to figure out ways to get kids, young girls, in order for them to be excited about the WNBA.
Yep. 100% agree. And my man, I will let you go so you can kind of relax a little bit, you know, hang out before your delayed flight approaches. And appreciate you coming on, as you do every week.
Of course.
I don't know why my man Nicholas, when we be in the group chat, he's like asking for permission to come on the show. Like, you know, he's not part of the rap. Like, he's a guest or something, bro. You're
guys,
a Rat Pack.
I'm not the Kool-Aid man busting through walls here to say, here I am, I'm here.
Here I am.
I want you to at least be somewhat prepared for me to come on so we can have at least a few talking points, or you get a little bit of leeway to, you know, head time to think about some things you might want to ask, not just, you know, on the fly. I'm not the Kool-Aid man, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that's part of it as well. I mean, I want you to be prepared. I just don't want to call it like, hey, I'm here. So at the end of the day, that's obviously part of it, but it's also just some Wednesdays it works and some Wednesdays it doesn't.
Yeah.
So, but you know, you got William and you got the Guru. You got Guru just plugging away for your time as well too. So, but anyway, well, thank you, Derek, for having me on. It's always a pleasure, and we'll be on soon. I'll be working on this article to get this thing started.
All right, man. As always, man, appreciate you coming on, and we'll catch you next time, brother.
All right. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Rat Pack Sports Show, NBA Insider, Nicholas Lane. And always appreciate his conversation. Again, I say this all the time because I really do mean it. I got the best guys. I put them up against anybody. I don't care how much money they make. I don't care who they work for. My guys can talk about their, you know, respective sports that they cover just as good as anybody that you watch on TV. And that is 100% fact. Yeah, we're a little small, you know, podcast network. But I watch a whole lot of sports talk shows, and they ain't talking about nothing. I'm screaming and yelling at each other. That's about it. You know, they're not having deep, you know, conversation on the sports. They pick a couple topics. They run with it. They don't talk about. You'll never see First Take, what's the other one, with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, Undisputed or whatever you call it. You'll never see them talk about small market teams. They just talk about the same teams or the same one or two big names over and over and over again. And I stopped watching them shows a while back because not really entertaining. You know, what Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley them got through on TNT is that's what it's supposed to be. That's what they do is what a sports talk panel is supposed to be. It's not just, you know, the same regurgitated conversation over and over and over again. They have fun doing it. They make it fun for their viewership. And there's a lot of people trying to mimic what they do. NHL, you know, Major League Baseball. Who am I missing? NFL, they got some good content, but there's no group of four that does anything comparable to what Shaq, Kenny Smith, Ernie Johnson, Barkley, what those guys do at TNT. Everybody's trying to duplicate, you know, what they're doing. And so far, they have been able to duplicate it. So,